listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Don't Get Left in the Dust. I hope everybody out there in Southern California is trying to stay cool. It is a little cooler than what we've had before, and you're drinking water and enough electrolytes in your body. Today, we are talking about healthcare and healthcare benefits. Our first guest was Andrew Peake on the Alzheimer's Association. The second half, we're going to be talking to Michael Salisbury of the Human Resource Alliance. Michael, welcome back again, and for your patience on the first half hour. I hope you got some good information for yourself on that. We're going to talk, I want you to give us a little background. This is your 1 to 2 minute elevator speech, Michael, on who you are. You're on now, and also what your company does.
Well, thank you, Paula. The company is a reflection of what I experienced in my career in HR. What happened is so many times the company had a number of vendors providing HR services. For example, there would be one vendor supplying background check services, another vendor would be supplying benefits, somebody else would do outsourcing for outplacement activities, another vendor would be doing training, and another vendor would be an attorney. And there was no connection from these various vendors that was supporting the HR function. And it seemed to me, because I wanted to have my own business, I worked in the corporate world for many years, and I had been with IBM on the consulting area for about 10 years, and I wanted to find an opportunity to go into my own business. And it occurred to me, if I could figure out some way to connect these different disparate businesses that was supporting the HR function, that might hold an opportunity. And so what I did is I used the concept of the construction industry, which operates with a general contractor, and the general contractor has subs, and the general contractor is the main connection with a particular client, and the general contractor may do most things, but for example, they don't do electrical, and so they'll sub the electrical, but they'll maintain the relationship. And that's what I've constructed. So there's a number of things in the HR world that I perform, but then I sub out things on a as-needed basis. Some of the things I sub out are things that I can do, but I choose not to. For example, an affirmative action plan is something that I can do, but I really don't like doing them. And so I have an excellent person that I provide my clients the opportunity to have that service. Legal services, for example. There's a number of legal-oriented activities that I can perform, but I'm not an attorney, and if there's a need to represent the company in front of a judge, then I will sub that out. But for the most part, the way that business is structured is just about anything a company needs from an HR perspective, whether it be benefits, whether it be training, whether it be an HRIS system, whether it be relocation services, anything that a company needs, we can supply.
I went on your website, which is hralliance.biz. You know, you do have a lot of great services for it. Now, who are your companies? Is it any type of like a mid-size company or large corporations that you target, is your target audience?
It falls into two categories. The first category are companies that do not have HR departments. So let's just pick a number, say 75 employees. Some companies are smaller than that and have HR departments, but for the most part, we'll just pick a number. So if the company does not have an HR department, they still have a number of HR needs, compliance areas, for example. They're going to be hiring people. They probably want to take advantage of tax incentives. They certainly want to make sure that the benefits are taken care of. And they may need some compensation help with their sales force. So for those smaller companies, we'll act as their HR department and supply them all the services that they would get if they had a full-time person, but actually at a higher level, because we bring in people that have a lot more experience than they could afford to hire. The second demographic are companies, and again, we'll use 75 employees as kind of the line of demarcation. If they have a HR department, then the HR department is frequently supplying services to the company through the third parties. Again, you'll have somebody do background checks, possibly drug testing. And there are these various different services that the HR department will use to support their function. The interesting thing, though, is that you'll never hear an example where an HR department has said to the recruiter, I want you to spend some time with our benefits provider so that when you're out there recruiting for us, you're really familiar with the kind of benefits that we have to offer, so you're able to really represent what we have to offer our employees. The HR department doesn't do that, which is fascinating that that doesn't happen. But we do that. We are able to make a connection between all the different services. And here's how it works. It's very difficult for me to go into a company and say to the HR person, here are all the things that I can do for you, because they will immediately start to say, oh my gosh, if I bring Mike into this company, my job is history.
Yes, yes. Because if you work with HRs, I'd imagine you would be a competitor for them.
That's definitely how they see it. That's not what we do, but that's how they see it. So the way we operate, it's rather a strategic approach. We don't try to really sell all that we can do and all that we can be. What we try to do is discover a need that a company has, and we raise our hand and ask the opportunity to compete for that particular need. So, for example, let's say a company wants to put in a safety program, and that's usually a start of something called an IIPP. It's an injury and illness prevention plan. And it has to follow certain guidelines to meet OSHA regulations, and companies are frequently looking for people to help them do that. So we'll raise our hand and say, you know, can we compete for that particular opportunity? And we're in a position to really provide a low-cost solution. We've got a proprietary software system that allows us to produce a plan for the companies in a very short period of time that meets all their needs, satisfies the OSHA requirements. And so we can provide it at low cost, and so we have a good opportunity to become connected with the company in that way. Once we're inside the company, then things start to become a little more clear and easier for us. Various things start to pop up that we become more aware of, and we'll raise our hand and say, can we compete for that particular opportunity? For example, a company may want to put in drug testing and background checks, and we can do that. So after a couple of opportunities come our way, and we raise our hand and compete for those positions and gain them, the relationship changes from one of a strict vendor to one where we're an advisor. And then over time, after about the third or fourth opportunity is delivered by us, suddenly the game changes and we're a partner with the company and not just a vendor, and that changes everything.
Do you see, before we get into some of the topics, do you see this kind of, with companies, they want to reduce their overhead? Not completely get rid of their HR, but do you think this is going to be a future trend to outsource?
Well, certainly with the larger companies, very large companies, it is and has been for some time. In fact, that's one of the things that I did with IBM. We provided outsourcing services for large companies and transferred operations from internally to externally, offshored many of the activities, put in sophisticated call centers and the like. I find that there are some cost savings associated with that, but... And I'm not in a position to disagree with a company that wants to hire us to have that done, but our objective isn't to go in and eliminate the HR department. Our objective is to go in and accelerate the HR department. What I find is HR falls into generally two categories, but what gets all the attention is the first category. And the first category is administration. There are a lot of routine activities that HR performs, just simply payroll activities, for example, or feeding information to payroll, or simply determining that a person is hired so they have to get them onto the benefit plan, or if somebody's on a leave of absence, there's laws like FMLA that have to be satisfied. So there's an awful lot of activity that HR performs to satisfy both internal and external compliance requirements that really do not contribute to the success of the business. But HR is known for those compliance administrative activities. The second part of HR, which in my judgment is where the excitement is the opportunity to contribute. Just something simple, for example. If you are hired at a company, there's an awfully good chance that that action of being hired is going to cause a tax incentive opportunity to arise. And companies that are paying attention to this area, when they do hire, are going to find that they can apply for those tax incentives and financially create all kinds of benefits to the company. That's also true when companies spend time training people. There's a lot of tax benefit money associated with the training of individuals. So not every hire or every training experience is going to benefit in terms of a tax incentive, but it's something that HR has an opportunity, if it pays attention to it, to really contribute to the financial success of the company. The other thing that amazes me about HR is I very rarely run into an HR person that actually knows what the employee productivity is of the workforce that is employed by the company that they're working for. So we're focused on trying to figure out ways to actually improve the productivity, the quality, and the satisfaction of the employees at the same time. And that brings us to the subject I think we talked about earlier in the program, and that's benefits and wellness.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting you brought that up, because to me, the biggest asset any company has is their employees. So the more, you know, you want as far as training. I love the fact that when I worked at Warner Brothers, they offered training. And I was hungry, you know, whatever you want me to do, but they had like management training or computers to make you a better employee. And that's huge. I want to go into the Health Care Act and the impact. And you gave this to me, and this is what I went on the Supreme Court decision. Kind of go a little bit into the Health Care Act.
Well, the Health Care Act is very, very controversial, as we just saw with the Supreme Court wrestling with the decision. Well, now it's clear the various elements of the Health Care Act are not simply a mandate, they're taxes. And that has clarified what the program is all about. And it is a very aggressive program, and it's scheduled to go into effect over a period of years. There are some things that aren't effective until the year 2018. There are some things that are already effective in the year 2010. And there are things that are going to become effective in 2013. But for most employers, 2014 is the big year. There are a lot of implications, a lot of requirements, a lot of changes that are going to go into effect in 2014, not the least of which are healthcare exchanges, which still isn't clear how that is going to work. But California is the leader in that particular area and is working feverishly to try to figure out how that's going to work, especially given the fact that California is facing a really financial problem in its own state. So a lot of confusion, a lot of lack of clarity, a lot of legislation, and the way the law is structured, much of the implications are going to be established by organizations that have yet to even be created yet. So there is no real clear idea on how this is going to come down. I mean, I can talk about elements, but there is a lot of confusion. And I think that a lot depends on the size of employer that you are, because if you've got less than 25 employees, you're going to have certain rules. If you have over 50, there are a different set of rules.
Will you be able to help employers or like people who have only 25 with this health care to deal with?
We can help by first of all explaining to them what their obligations are going to be, and One of the things that my comrades and I joke about is whether or not people want to have more than 25 employees based on the implications. But yes, we can help. There's got to be an understanding, though, that again, each year are going to have different levels of impact, and as time goes on, there's going to be impact that is unpredictable.
Can you recommend for us to understand websites or where we can get the information to at least get some clarity to it?
Well, you can contact me directly. My phone number is 818-970-0730, and we will be publishing documents on our website, which is HRAlliance.biz, and over time we will have the answers for the companies. But I hesitate to say this is an answer, because, again, it's going to depend on the number of employees that you have and the year that we're talking about. So I could give an answer and say, here's what your situation is now, and in 6 months, that could change.
That could change. So it's an ongoing. So on your website, will you have like blogs that will update this all the time for people to come on and see?
Well, as a matter of fact, we're experimenting right now with video blogs, which will allow us to present a segment of something of interest. We're obviously going to focus on this because it's a lot of interest. And we plan to have it all recorded. And so people will be able to click on it and get a little video on a particular subject. And then they can learn more. And the videos will only be about 90 seconds long, so it won't take a long time. And then there'll be a blog history commenting on the video. So that's our plan. We'll be rolling that out in about 60 days.
Do you reach out to self-employed to have, will you have the information for people who are one-person business that can understand the health care?
If you're a one-person business, there really isn't anything you have to be concerned about other than the fact that you may want to be able to take advantage yourself of the health exchanges that are going to become available in 2014.
Okay, that's something that I'd like you to come back and explain what health exchanges are.
Okay.
I'm a prime example of really ignorant on healthcare because I used to, when you work for someone, they take care of that and you just figure out which program you can do. But now that I'm kind of on my own, it's trying to figure out what all these are. Yeah.
Well, not only that, there's certain tax advantage if you have if you meet certain requirements and you have a healthcare plan. There are a number of tax advantages out there to help support you to ensure that you do have health care. The government has recognized that there are a number of people who are independent as opposed to working for somebody else, and then they've structured things so that you have some advantages.
Okay. We're running out of time, and I'd like to invite you back because we just hit the surface. So let everyone know that your site is hralliance.biz.
Correct.
Okay, so thank you again, Michael. Come back on. We need to talk about more of this.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Thank you. For everyone out there, have a have a great, safe week, and we will be back to next Sunday. Take care.
You're listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio.